Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. After this, Jesus travelled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household; Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to see Jesus from town after town, he told this parable.
A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times worth more than it was sown.
When he said this, he called out,
"Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear."
His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said,
"The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop."
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for that excellent two-part reading. And we are going to carry on now with a series that was started a while ago, I think, on the Gospel of Luke, and will take us up to Easter. And has been mentioned, this is a very familiar passage. Familiar, and yet I would suggest important, because it is actually included in three of the four Gospels. So it must have struck a chord and fixed in the mind of Jesus' disciples to choose this material amongst all others. I've heard it said that actually the message of Christianity is relatively simple. To understand the message is not complicated and does not require 20 degrees or whatever. What is difficult is actually living it out in practice, actually seeing how it applies to us. So I want us to take some time this morning, not maybe to learn new exciting things about the farming techniques of ancient Palestine, because I am no expert, but to examine what this parable could say to us and how it could help us grow. So chapter 8 starts with Jesus and his group of disciples moving about the countryside, talking to different groups. So no doubt he used this parable on more than one occasion to different groups, which may be why the disciples got so frustrated about what it meant or remembered it so well. Parables weren't a Jesus invention, if you like. For a non-literate, non-book-owning population, it was a common technique to use the visual, the things that people saw every day, the things that they experienced and knew about, to make them think in another way about other things. And I mean, analogies and metaphors are still something that we use frequently today. One of the interesting additions that Luke makes is that he describes the group that moves around. So he talks about three women that he names in particular, who, if you like, were examples then of the good seed growing and multiplying. These women, Mary they called Magdalene, Joanna and Susanna, had two things in common. they responded to the fact that Jesus had healed them with gratitude, and they gave of their money and also their time if they were moving around in order to pay back, to thank him for the gift that he had given them. They responded to God. So let's look at this parable. So we have, I think here, the three S's, as is sometimes said, the sower, the seed, and the soil. The sower, quite possibly, Jesus simply meant as being himself, although often now we see that to be any preacher or just anybody sharing the word of God, and very little is said about the sower. He was not important to Jesus when he spoke. There was no kind of comment of him. And in his explanation of what it all means, he doesn't particularly talk about the sower. What this passage focuses on, what this is talking about, is the relationship or the interaction between that soil, God's word, of God's people, and God's word, the seed. So how the seeds and the soil, when they're brought together, how the soil responds and what happens because of that. So, some seed fell on the path. Paths were not concrete, formal pavements that we tread daily as part of our allowed exercise, but they were soil. But this soil had been beaten flat because it's the place where people chose to walk all the time. And that surface was therefore compacted and hardened and flattened down. And so the seed simply sat around on the surface. It didn't soak in. There was no real interaction between the seed and the soil beneath. And therefore it was easy pickings for the birds. Now, for those bird lovers amongst you, and I know there are a few, it's sad to say that this is not shown as a useful byproduct of this sowing technique, that the birds also got something to eat and this was beneficial to biodiversity. No, the birds in this case represent evil. They are taking away the seed from where they should be and what they should be doing. And so the birds are seeing as bad and snatching away that vital word of the kingdom of God. Evil is around always, but clearly evil here has been made given free rein because the seed hasn't soaked into the soil. Other seed fell on rocky ground. And here it wasn't so much the rocks, but the lack of water that sustained the plants. We had readings earlier from the Psalms talking about trees growing deep and feeding on life-giving water. And these seeds were described as not having enough water, not having put deep enough roots down to gain the things that the seeds needed in which to grow. And they're looking a bit sorry for themselves. And they won't last. Our third set of seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns went on and won and choked the seeds, so that these plants never really got going to their full potential and were overwhelmed by the presence of these weeds. It's interesting to read what exactly these weeds represented, these thorns and thistles. They're described as, in our reading, worries, riches, and pleasures. This may be a very old story, but it would appear that the human heart has not changed much in thousands of years. We have talked already today of the worries that surround us, that there are those for whom finance is a genuine worry, but also probably those out there for whom seeking riches or pleasure is what their life is about, rather than growing from the seed that's been planted in them are producing good soil. So I think there's ample demonstrations that this is a story as much for then as for today. And then we come to the seed that fell on good soil. This is the happy ending, if you like, our light at the end of the tunnel. Bountiful crops. And here it describes the soil, the hearts of those that end up as a bountiful crop, that they are noble and good. Noble isn't a word we use very often, and perhaps to say someone has a good heart is a high compliment. And actually, I believe everybody has nobility and goodness in their heart because God made them and made their heart. So however you're feeling today, there is always a section of our hearts which God made and is ready to bear lots of fruit. Sometimes people comment on the fact that perhaps scattering the seed absolutely everywhere was slightly careless or foolish. Perhaps they should simply have picked a nice bit of soil and dumped all the seed there. But actually, we see from this the hundredfold return that these particular plants produce in the good soil would make up for any that had gone astray or had a chance elsewhere. So we are looking at a very familiar passage. Maybe the sower isn't important, and my job is particularly easy because Jesus has explained this parable to us. So I wouldn't wish to contradict or go beyond any of that. The meaning is for us to explore for ourselves to some extent. So think about how that seed can sink in and how it can grow. So I've got the sandwich, if you like, the portion in the middle where you don't have to listen to me. But there are no words to go with it. We're going to have about 3 minutes of watching what is a very speeded up seed or bean pod growing into a plant. There is music to go with it. And what I want us to do in those 3 minutes, as we watch those images and let the music wash over us, is to think, how is it that we could grow in this time of lockdown? How is it that we can grow? When we finally get to see those little people that we miss and adore, you have my full permission to be really annoying and say to them, wow, haven't you grown? Because they probably will have done in the months since we saw them properly. What about us? Shouldn't we also be growing spiritually, even within the restrictions of life today? So 3 minutes, I think Jess is going to play this for us in order for us to meditate on this idea of growing spiritually and what that's going to look like for us over the next few weeks. So, in an amazingly short time, we have a fruitful little plant. I think a sermon should have, like a bride, something old and something new. And it is an old parable, but it's also only a meaningful parable if it means something to us today. And I think it would be grossly unfair of me to expect you to go on to perhaps share some of what you've thought of or what God's saying to you, if you chose, to other people, if I wasn't prepared to do the same. So I'm going to share with you some of the things that I think God has been saying to me personally, if you like, recently, through ideas like this. It makes me wonder just how amazing science is and what you can get out of a seed so quickly when you see something like that. And the two things that struck me was, first, just how much goes on beneath the surface that other people won't see in those roots going down, but just how important that is the bits that God sees, if you like, the bits that we do alone in our bedroom that we don't need to share, other people don't need to see, but will have a big impact on the flower above the surface. And the other thing was the way that little seedling, the tip of the ceiling, seemed to be sort of thrashing about, wasting a lot of energy. It wasn't just heading straight up like some pantomime Jack and the Beanpole where they just pull it straight up. There was an awful lot of chasing one's tail and going in random directions, but still it was moving up. Another word that God has given me personally, I think, in the last few weeks about how to progress through this difficult time of lockdown is the phrase look up, to look up. I don't know how many of you go back as far as or remember The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but there is an interesting bit of economic theory in that that says in times of difficulty, recession and strife, people tend to look down and they look at their shoes and they realise how scruffy they are and they go out and buy a new pair of shoes, and eventually the planet becomes covered in nothing but shoe shops and the whole economy collapses. I think that tendency to look down or even simply to look sideways at what other people are doing. Are they keeping the rules? What is the news saying? What are the latest figures is a danger. And I think what God has been saying to me is to look up, to look to him, to look beyond our situations. And that way there might be growth, survival and getting through these difficult times. I would like to tell you all that this word came to me after I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning, prayed for 2 hours and read my Bible. But I wouldn't want to lie to you lot, my church and my family. So the truth is the word look up came to me, if you like, from a website. So I knew that I was preaching this Sunday and I knew the passage. And I think as Paul's already intimated, the first thing one thinks is, oh, crumbs, everyone has heard this lots of times before. So I looked on the website to double check the readings. And I saw this little section of our incredibly organised reading, and there it says under Luke 8:1-21, the phrase look up. And in my naivety and hurry, I thought, wow, we're doing a series on looking up. We're looking to God. How tremendously excited I got. I think it's a bit fad, but I do feel it's essential to be excited about whatever it is you're going to talk about, your passage. Even teaching, I love science and I'm excited about much of my topic. It was only later when I realised that if you clicked on look up, it gives you it looks up the passage for you, as if you might not have a Bible or could do it for yourself, and presents that on the screen. So I misinterpreted that phrase, but I believe it is something that God wanted to say to me, that it's all about looking up for what is to come. So I would like to think that in the breakout room or subsequently or later, we could share the things that are giving us encouragement, share the things that have been helpful to us in order to encourage and bring growth, spiritual growth over a time where many people feel they are just locked down in so many ways and sat still. I particularly think the most helpful thing for me that I've got out of Fairfield Church and Community is the Friday morning prayer meeting, but I realise I'm fortunate that I don't actually work on a Friday, so that means that I'm able to go to that. And as Sue said, it is not that everyone we have prayed for that we have prayed for and everything that we have brought for God has miraculously taken place and people have all been healed. But there have been answers to prayer and there have been things where we are sure that he has intervened for us. So to finish, I would just like to say a short prayer for us all. And then we are going to have a final song. Heavenly Lord, we thank you that you have sown the good seed in all of our hearts that is accessible and there for all of us today. We pray that you would speak to us, that we would interact with that seed, with that word. We pray that you would find those good places, those things which are noble in our hearts, that that seed would grow, that we would bring forth fruit, that we would be what we were meant to be, and that we would bring glory to you. Amen.